The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we're going to go back to yesterday because we did not analyze everything. And I meant to look at the Pesukim, but I got a phone call that I had to take urgently, and that took up all my Pesuk time. So that's my excuse. What's yours? No. Okay. Kol anosin tzedakah la'ani b'sefer panim ra'os upanav kavushas pekarka afilo nasan lo elav zehuvim ibid zehusa ohiv sida. So anyone who gives tzedakah to an ani with a grouchy face or mad face or whatever, or his face looking to the ground, even if he gives him $1,000, then he either has lost the zechus of all of it or has diminished the zechus. Ela nosen lo b'sefer panim yafos u'b'simcha. You should give it to him cheerfully or with a happy face and with simcha. Umis onin imo al tzarasa. And he should commiserate with him over his tzara. Shnemar im lo v'chisi l'kshe yom agvan nefesh nafshi la'evyon. Okay, that was what I wanted to read in you. Just look at it inside. So I believe this is him listing his virtues and why bad stuff shouldn't have happened to him. He says, so this, I'm going to read the context. Eov says, for I knew that you, with a capital Y, would bring me to death, to the destination of all life. But let him, with a capital H, not stretch out his hand in total fury. Though destruction is their lot, there is some relief. Did I not weep for the heavily burden? Did I not sorrow for the destitute? I had hoped for goodness, but evil came. I had looked forward to light, but darkness came. My innards boiled and did not cease. Days of oppression came towards me. I go about darkened, though not from the sun. I rise up in public and scream. I have become a brother to jackals, a friend to owls. Interesting. I didn't know that was a phrase. Yeah. My skin has become blackened upon me and my bones have dried out for me. My harp has turned from mourning my flute to the sound of weepers. So yeah, he's just basically saying, I commiserated with the poor. And then he says, Madabra lo divri tachanuni v'nechamos, and he should speak with him words of supplication and comfort. Shnemar v'lev almana arnin. As it says, also in Eov 29:13. So he says here, so this is again him talking about the good old days. If only I could be as in the earlier months, as in the days when God would watch over me. Awkward. When his lamp would shine over my head and I would walk in darkness by his light. When I was in the days of my prime, when God's mystery was above my tent. The Almighty was still with me, with my attendants all around me, when my steps were bathed in cream and the rocks would pour out pools of oil for me. Vivid imagery here. Yeah. When I would go out to the city gate atop a platform and set my seat in the town square, youths would see me and conceal themselves. I don't know why. The aged would rise and stand. Ministers would withhold their words and place their hands to their mouths. The voice of the leaders would be hidden. The tongue would cleave to their palate. When an ear would hear me, it would praise me. When I would see me, it would vouch for me. For I would rescue a pauper from his wailing and an orphan who had none to help him. The blessings of the forlorn would be upon me. I would bring joyous song to a widow's heart. I donned righteousness. It suited me. My justice was like a cloak and a headdress. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the destitute, which he's going to quote later on. If I was ignorant of their grievance, I would investigate. I smashed the fangs of injustice and caused prey to be cast from its teeth. I said to myself, I will expire with my nest intact. I will live as long as the phoenix. My roots will be open to water and dew will always dwell on my branches. My honor will always renew itself and my bow will refresh itself in my hand. Yeah. So what we said yesterday was, why is it that you lose or diminish your zechus if you give it to them, if you give $1,000 to them with a sad face or with an angry face, like you still gave them the money. Right. So correct me if I'm wrong. We said that if the mitzvah of tzedakah were just allocation of resources, then it'd be no different than waving lulav with a sad face. Like you did the ma'aseh mitzvah, you know, but the whole thing is to cultivate the chesed, tzedakah, and mishpat and go against the stinginess and cruelty, you know. So that's part of the actual ma'aseh mitzvah. And if you give it to them in a way that dehumanizes them or makes them feel bad or ashamed or whatever, so then you're actually like, that is actually a pogam in your ma'aseh mitzvah. So you'd lose the whole thing if it's really bad, or you could like diminish it. But what we didn't explain, I don't think, is I didn't notice it yesterday. Mis onin imo al tzaraso and the dabirlo divrei tachanunim minachanos. Two things. Okay. And I'll just, so if we could just understand that, but I want to give you examples is I think the first person I ever saw do this was Rabbi Zimmer, because when I was in yeshiva in the old dorm, so I had the tzedakah tending job, but he had it before me. And there was a woman who used to come around named Shoshana, and he would always sit with her and like talk with her, you know? And then I don't think I would have done that if I hadn't seen him do that. And then I started doing that. And like, I think that it was easier because she was like a regular, but if you ask yourself, I mean, you can't always just like barge in and when someone asks for tzedakah and say, oh, so what's up with you? You know, like it has to be like part of the natural conversation. But, you know, there are times or there are certain aniyim who will clearly be moved to tell their story or to tell what happened to them. And you should let them, talk and like make time for that. You know, that's actually part of the mitzvah. I think the last aniyah that I did this with, and this is before COVID, was there used to be a guy named Avi outside of Gourmet Glot, who clearly was suffering from some sort of mental illness. And I can't diagnose people, but sounded like paranoid schizophrenia. Like he would always go on at length about like how the people in Gourmet Glot and all the people in the businesses around him are like conspiring to get him. And like they're in league with like doctors who like planted devices in his body, you know, that kind of thing. And I would always like the first couple of times I was taken off guard, but after that, I would actually like plan my shopping time to give him 5 minutes like of time, you know, to let him talk. And even though he's not in a state where like it's making any sense, like clearly it would give him some you know, some relief to talk about it. So I think, and even if you don't do that, I feel like the first step has to be like, let's say when the aniyim come in on Friday, how many of us actually even stop to think to ourselves, I wonder what the circumstances of these people are and how they became poor and like what keeps them in poverty. And, you know, like it's just the fact that our thoughts don't even extend that far shows how far away we are from this mitzvah. Now, this would be the highest level where we're actively like commiserating with them. But even before we get there, I think like this is, something you can do without, you know, doing it in action. Similarly, and I might have told this before in this context or like on some as some example, but I remember with that Shoshana that I mentioned who came, I remember one time she came into yeshiva and she was crying, and I asked her like what happened, and she said she found out that a couple years ago her sister died, you know. And that struck me, because if any of us had a family member who died, we would find out about it very quickly. And like the fact that I don't know what the circumstances of her sister were, but clearly, you know, she was not in a position to be able to be in touch with that. And then that led me to think of like, I wonder how she's going to die. You know, like when we die, we'd like to imagine that it's going to be surrounded by loved ones and people who are like providing care and comfort. And thinking about how aniyim die, I'm sure many times it's just alone. And like, this was the first time in my life I had thought of that even, you know? So like, you know, I think that it could go both ways. Like either you start doing these behaviors that Ron was describing, and then that cultivates this type of empathy. Or if that's too much for you, you can start by thinking of this type of empathy, and then that can motivate you to actually act, you know? And also like medaber lo b'divrei tachanunim and nechamos. So tachanunim, I only see tachanunim by God. I've never seen speak to them with divrei tachanunim. I don't know what that means. But nechamos, just to talk about what we mentioned last week in Avel, nechama, nachim means to comfort, to regret, or to change your mind. And Rav Hirsch says that, I don't think you need rehearse for this, but that the essence is changing your mind, you know, reframing things. And even though you obviously can't, it's not like you're going to be miraculously like say something to the onion, they're going to go away saying, gee, thanks for making me feel good. Like everything is all good now. You can, you know, through talking, like help to, let's say if it's a matter of giving them hope, if it's a matter of like showing that you care, if it's a matter of, you know, even like any sort of reframing for the good. Yeah.
You could also just like reframe this specific interaction. Meaning like,
correct.
It's not easy
right.
for somebody to go and ask for money.
Yeah.
So by, you know, save upon yathos and just by talking with them and making them feel comfortable.
Right.
Like you reframing this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking after I said the anecdote yesterday about how the woman joked with me, you know, like I was thinking like, how often does she get to tell a joke to someone and like have someone laugh? Like that even itself is like a human interaction, you know? So can we figure out what the divrei tachanunim is? That's just a little weird. Medaber lo divrei tachanunim. And just the lashon of tachanunim comes from chonein, right? Which is to be gracious, right? To graciously give. What was it? My question is, we say tachanunim to God. We supplicate to him. I don't think this means, what was it?
What's supplicate?
Supplicate means to ask for something you don't deserve, to ask for pain, you know, to be honing you. Like the here's the go-to source. So some sources are easy to remember, and this one is very easy to remember because it's the opening pasuk of Va'es Chanan, and that's where Rashi defines Tachanunim. That's the Torah Tmima. Rashi says, "Va'es Chanan in chinun b'chol makom ela lashon matnas chinan." Means giving something for free. Alpha pishish, so here it's alpha pishish, letzadikim litlos b'maaseim hatovim, in mavakshim me'es hamakom ela matnas chinam. Even though chachamim, tzadikim could depend on their good actions, they only ask God as matnas chinam. So I understand being mischanin to God, but being medabir divri tachanunim to another person, I just don't exactly know what that means.
Did we already say being polite to
Being polite, that's interesting. Well, that's more of your countenance. But what like I want to know what the script is. Like what words do we say, you know? Like that are tachanunim. I don't think polite. Not specific words, just like politeness.
I mean not polite.
Yeah. Like considerate.
Like cautious with what you.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and read that in the next one also, because that's where he really talks about that. Yeah, let's read this, because I think it might be part of the facts. Shalha ani min mechath, ani asks you for something, the inbiyat ha-klum litain lo, and you don't have anything to give him, paisehu b'dvarim, appease him with words. That's another word thing. So that definitely would fit. Va'asr ligor b'ani o lahagbi ha-kol ala b'za'aka, it's asr to shout at the ani or to raise your voice. Mipnei shalibo nishbar v'nitke, because his heart is broken and crushed. Which, by the way, I was thinking about this a lot lately. That you know, last week with all of the grieving, and also just talking to my mom with her grieving, you know, it is a thing where someone can be in a fragile emotional state and then snap at someone, or be in a fragile emotional state and feel like someone is snapping at them, you know, when it's not really true, mm-hmm. or take something very personally when it's not really personal. And so I think that might be something to think about when he says their heart is nishbar nitke. They're always in a fragile state. So any little thing that like you, that you do that like, could be perceived by them as personal or a slight, you got to be extra careful about. We said yesterday, why is Rav frame it as God does not despise a lev nishbar v'nitke? We said because there is part of you that does despise someone who is in a lowly state because you want to distance yourself or break identification. So you have to be halacha bedrachav and not despise that. You have to, just like God gives life to the poor, you have to give life to the poor and crushed. The worst thing you can do is embarrass them. You should be like a father, whether in mercy or with words, which we didn't figure out. Like Eov said. Yeah, so speaking politely and gently to them is definitely fitting in with this. I'm just bothered by, because I view tachanunim as asking for things, I want an alternative to that fits in with the Tachanun.
What I was saying was more like, hey, but maybe Tachanun is like, even if you feel like maybe they're being disrespectful to you.
Speak them.
The opposite, meaning you're
right.
Not speak. You're not deserving, that they're not deserving.
Oh, okay. Let me think about an example. That.
Like they're being rude.
Right.
To you.
You should speak with them graciously. Right. Yeah. Even if they don't deserve it. Right. Yeah. That's a good shot. Right. That's actually a good shot, right? In other words, I think, again, I don't know how much you've been confronted with anim that are like demanding, right? That it could, the gut reaction is to want to say like, well, I'm the one who's giving you money. Like, stand down, you know, so that's not divrei tachanunim, you know? So yeah, that I think that's a good one. That's good.
Example, like when you have, you know, like five, they come in, and they ask for money, and then someone doesn't notice, and they give the first person like $5, $10.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was a good suck. And then, like, the rest of the guys come.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you're
right.
Together?
Yeah.
And then they get upset. Like,
yeah, right. That's a good example. Yeah, that's a good practical case. Yeah. You want to say?
What does Arnim mean?
We got confused by that. It's a weird conjugation. Arnim means I will cause the Lev Amana to sing joyously. Okay. It's from Rina, but Arnin, no clue what the conjugation of that is.
Okay, yeah. I was just wondering if that would help with trying to figure out what he's trying to bring a proof.
Oh, that's a good point. Right. Lev Amana Arnin. So that's actually that's a high level, right? When you take someone who's a widow and you make her sing with joy, you know, that's like, that's more than, see, because when if he just said, Medabrilo Divri Takamim Nechamos, I would say that's like going from, negative emotion to baseline. This is like going even higher, you know? That's interesting.
And it couldn't mean that, like, you ask him to help you, does it?
That would be one way to do it. I mean, definitely from what I have heard, not from actual Aniyim, but from like movies and videos and stuff, you know, is like, these people who are in these situations feel so dehumanized that being able to help out or not feeling like they're a burden will give them dignity, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I was talking to my dad because we had like an Aniyim thing
A
couple nights ago. And he said, that like the highest level was to like give him a job.
Yeah, we're going to see that.
So, okay,
yeah,
fine. Yeah. So I was thinking of like along those lines of like that can, you know, because that reinstates their humanity and like
yeah.
makes them like they're doing something for you. It's not just like a one way.
Right. Kind of That's true. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, I've never been in a position to do this because I don't think any of the Aniyim I've regularly interacted with have had this. But I can envision a case where an Ani comes into the Beis Midrash and if you and they speak the same language, like I could see a thing where like sharing Torah with them, not just to like go and like use them as a, you know, but like that could be a thing that could be like a conversation that can make them feel human. Again, I'm not saying you should just automatically do this, but yeah. So the last thing we just didn't figure out was the of whether in rachamim or with words. Now you could just say that means that an actual father speaks mercifully to his child and acts mercifully, but something just strikes me as funny as the bein berachamim, bein bedvarim. I don't know why.
Maybe rachamim is not, well, dvarim is his words, right?
Yeah.
So maybe rachamim is like your mannerisms.
Uh-huh.
Like there's like a way of speaking. I mean, there's what you're saying, and there's like
right
like the way that you're saying.
That's true, right? So can we define that? I mean, I know we know it from experience, and we ruled one thing out yesterday is that Yosef said like, you know, you shouldn't be patronizing to them, you know, like that kind of father, you know, it's not like a disciplinarian father. And, you know, see, what I would have said, by the way, is I would have been tempted to say like a brother, right? Mm-hmm. You know, father does seem to be like a odd relationship to invoke. Oh, yeah, I know the father cares for the kids, but, and it's also been contrasted with the oi to someone who shames the ani, you know? Okay, let's think about it and tomorrow plan to move on. I think we have one more halacha and then we get to the levels, and that's what you just mentioned about the highest level. Yeah, I think. Okay, very good. Thanks for coming.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.